Hey, everybody. Great show this morning. We discuss Other Deed at length, considering the recent increase in volume. We also discuss some of the small projects that are pumping right now and what we expect from the NFT market in the short to medium term. As always, this content is sponsored by FTX. You can sign up at thenifty.com/FTX or with the code TheNifty on your FTX mobile app. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's Tuesday. This is the NFT Morning Show. I'm Pio here with my co-host, Nifty Nick, Easy Eats Bodega, Captain Kicks. We got Spencer on stage. Signal will not be joining us today. She will be missed. But this is the show where we talk all things NFT market, what's going up, what's going down, all the stories of the NFT space. And we've got a lot to talk about today. It was a good 24 hours here during our little bear market cycle. And I'm really excited to dig in to what's going on out there in the NFT streets. Nifty Nick, good morning, amigo. How are you?
Well, what do you mean a 24-hour bear market?
It's not a 24-hour bear market. It's unfortunately a probably multi-decade bear market. No, I'm just kidding. But at least I have to imagine through Q4 of this year. But I was saying it was a good 24-hour period in the NFT space. Like a lot kind of we have a good amount of stuff to talk about.
Got it. So we have content.
You sound really happy to be here.
Well, so you were playing Summertime, and so as part of my summertime ritual, I like to have a little Van Leeuwen's ice cream at night, and it got out of control last night. There was an incident. Had you taken a picture, you would have caught me with like chocolate all over my face. Like picture that for a moment.
Yeah, you get chocolate wasted all the time.
So I ate, I couldn't stop myself. I had a whole pint.
Have you had their Earl Grey ice cream?
I haven't, but what I will say is it led to some of the literally worst heartburn I ever had. I was like, well, tonight I die. I couldn't go to sleep till quite late because I was rolling around. I was like, oh my God, this was a bad move.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a pro's pro here. You know, like you hear about LeBron James and the way he kind of, you know,
he eats ice cream. We're making a comparison here.
He spends $1 million on his body a year. He's got trainers, he's got optimizers, you know, zero G, or I don't even know the advanced technology he's using, Versa climbers everywhere. Then we got Nifty Nick, who told me he had a really good diet. Then when we had
the requirement that I'm at a level of LeBron James to hop on this show. I don't know.
That's what I expect.
There may be some confusion here.
That's who I thought I was in business with. But I remember.
Got it. Okay.
You're like, yeah, I got a pretty good diet. Then we get down to the Cape. You go to the grocery store.
Okay, let's not
grocery store cookies. I was like, dude, how many grams of sugar are you consuming a day? But so I guess did you have to cool down after we had the spicy miso ramen last night? You had to have the Van Leeuwen ice cream after that.
Basically, it was a little something like that. I also took another L, which is, I think I sold, I went for an ETH trade following Easy.
You sold the bottom.
And I literally perfectly timed the bottom. I exited out. Following Easy, you're still in?
Yeah, I haven't sold that shit. I'm up like six right now. I'm chilling. It's nice.
Six Ethereum?
Like $600. Not.
I followed Easy into
it's a bear
two
market.
Trades.
Yeah, we take anything we can get, but we listen to our Lord and Savior, Marin. She said, go long today, and then we all die into July.
So I followed Easy into this trade, and I just couldn't take the pain. I was just like, dude, I've lost nearly $1,000 trading with Easy so far. All my other calls, you know, when I listen to myself, I'm just spot on. Although I'm still expecting this to dump down to 1080. So who knows? You know, I have no idea. But all I can say is like, this is the sort of level of activity that I'm at now is I'm playing for $800.
That's where everyone's at. I mean, look, it could be worse. I love watching you guys get into these crypto trades. It's actually, I don't know, there's something about it. It's like high stakes, you know, the fact that you can just press the sell button and everything disappears. But that also, you know, that adds
why is that high stakes? Isn't that lower stakes?
I mean, yes and no, because everybody can do that. You know what I mean? Everyone can just press the button and sell. So I feel like the price action's kind of gnarly. I mean, $12,000 in a 24-hour period in the past week with one of these trades?
No, it was 1 week that I was holding my position.
Oh shit!
And then I made that, and then I lost $1,000 in 24 hours, following Easy into. We know Easy watches the 1 minute candles, so he's out there trading the 1 minute candles, and it's difficult to trade those, they say. And I was like,
it's called gambling. Please,
yeah, let's do this. It was pure gambling. So I've lost twice. Maybe I play once more here, but at this point I don't have a, there's no position. I'm on the sideline.
We're going short tonight. Trust Marin.
Yeah. I would not be longing here. So yeah, that's what's been going on in my life. There was zero NFT trades made, at this point in time. I may sell, one of my NFTs, but I'm not sure.
Well, we definitely have to talk about that considering this is an NFT show, and we're going to dive into the weather report with Captain Kicks in just a minute. However, it is fascinating how spot on Marin Altman, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know, the Marin that Nick is referring to is Marin Altman. She is a, I guess you would say, a crypto influencer.
Easy referred to. Easy was like, I'm going to take her tweets as though it's like the Bible.
I've never followed her before. I've just read the tweets and been like, damn, should have tailed. Yesterday, she tweets, go long and then go short in very simplistic terms. So I text Nick, and as we're talking, I'm like, dude, I'm going to go fucking long. Like, this is the worst decision because the chart is so ugly. And then I just went to bed and left it open. And sure enough, I woke up to a nice little return at the moment. I want to cut this because this is ugly. Like, the market looks so bad from like a chart TA macro style.
From a 5 minute candle analysis.
Bro, from a one day, from a weekly, from a monthly, this looks beat.
Well, I mean, look, the word is out on Marin's predictions now, so it actually might make sense to counter trade for a little bit. This is kind of like when you get into an NFT project late, everyone started talking about it, the word is out. That's when all of a sudden you're just exit liquidity and the floor starts dropping. Wappy raises his hand. Is this, we're going to dive into the weather report in a minute, but Wappy, is this Marin related?
No, it's actually Jim Cramer related. I'm waiting for him to tell me to short ETH, and then I'm going long, and that's how we know we've hit a true bottom.
Okay, that's one strategy, right? But yeah, I mean, I do feel like when the word is out, you know, sometimes you benefit from counter trading it. But then again, Marin's just been right back to back to back with these markets.
PO's been doing a lot of technical trading recently. He switched from his dollar cost averaging to counter trading Marin.
It might not be a bad move, right? We got Captain Kicks on stage. Good morning, amigo. How's it going?
Okay. It's going absolutely phenomenal. I'm over here just laughing so hard that like Nick is like a straight sugar ice cream alcoholic. That had me laughing for a good couple of minutes there because I can just visualize how he was looking as he's rolling in his bed dealing with like the instant heartburn feedback from a full pint.
Pio doesn't understand what it takes to eat a whole pint of ice cream. Like he just looks at that like he's offended by that act. Look, I'm telling you, there's other people that relate with me, Pio, because they understand what it requires and the sort of physical and mental strength that it requires to down a pint of high-end ice cream. They understand it, they get it, and they would like to be in my shoes, minus the heartburn that was going on there.
It's like 150 grams of sugar.
P.O., Charles Barkley could probably down a whole pint, and he was a professional NBA player, so that's what it takes.
Exactly.
Kicks.
Yeah, and I love that he like prefaced it like he's an alcoholic, but it's like high-end, you know what I mean? So it's like not like he... It's kind of like he's eating, you know, Breyer's ice cream. Like he's like, no, this is like real, real top shelf heartburn I'm dealing with right now. And then the second thing that had me rolling this one, Easy said he was up six, and you know, like in a bull market, like six is definitely 6K, right? But in a bear market,
it's $6.
I can't believe he said up six, and it was literally $600.
Up a solid six racks here, but it's bear market racks. Anyways,
take a zero off. It's how you got to handle it.
Exactly. It makes the pain less. Into the weather report, as PO kicked off the call, we definitely had a lot of action over the last 24 hours. So OpenSea volume actually moved up to 18 million, which is up a bit from 15 million on the previous day. We have Apes at 91 ETH, Mutants just below 18, Punks at 66. We got Other Deed above 3 with a nice run up. We got Moonbirds trying to hang on to 20, Doodles in the 12 range, CloneX in the 10 ETH range. So those are all flat. And then the Yuga Labs ecosystem seeing some upside movement in some of their projects. So Other Deed was leading the top NFT sales volume, put in 1,600 plus ETH over the past 24 hours. It pumped yesterday morning and then later into the day. Part of this was due to holders of Other Deeds asking to take a quick two-question survey to help us in help us with the headcount in advance of the first trip on July 16th. So for those that don't know, July 16th is going to be the first playable demo of Other Deeds. Probably one of the most exciting events that will happen in the NFT space in July. So people are very, very excited about that. Gossamer Seeds, which is from Bronze Studios, has begun its reveal, which is like a series of teases. You know, they're just giving you a little kiss on the mouth here. No second or third base. Image changed from a firefly to a moth. And then the Twitter account tweeted, "Moth holders will receive first access to mint a playable Gossamer Fairy NFT coming in early July." And then there is a production technology partnership with Fortnite. Oh, I actually told Wappy that it had nothing to do with Fortnite, and I guess it does. That's at 0.4. That was actually my first play that I've done in a while. I bought 9 of those last night just because I was like, there's really nothing like, you know, kind of innovative or exciting going on with new projects. A lot of it's just like, you know, meme-y-ass stuff. So for me to make a little bit of a bet on Bronze Studios, even though Nick thinks it's easy to get 30 Academy Awards, you know, I think it's a, you know, decent deal. Just seems like an interesting project. So I took a little flyer bet on those.
What were you buying at? What was the floor when you were buying?
Right around this range. Like my average cost is probably in the low 0.4s, I think. But I was like, hey, I'll take a little bet here. I basically bought like, you know, half of what I wanted. And if it pulls back down to like 0.2 or 0.3, I'll scoop up some more, double down on the gamble on that one. Moonbird Oddities also pumped overnight. They are 23 days from reveal. Mr. Gremlin is working on it, and they are less about utility and more about credible art. That floor is at 3.18 ETH. And then this is not on the weather report, but I was looking around. Some people in our community and in another Discord I'm in were talking about the Moon Pepes.
Right.
The Moon Pepes have 4.2K supply. That floor is right around 0.2 ETH. I was looking at it this morning. I was like, man, these are actually kind of cool. The best way to describe it is it's like Pepe's style art, but it is it kind of has an X copy glitch vibe to it. I don't know. I thought these were actually pretty cool. And it seems like the artist is, you know, like actually an artist and trying to do things. So I thought that project was cool and worth highlighting. You know, maybe I'll scoop a couple of those up because it actually looks like they put in some effort and originality into that. So you like to see that. Bitcoin just below 21K. ETH popped above 1,200. Thanks to the astrologist of crypto. And yeah, that's the weather report. We got some moves going around in the Other Deed space. We got a lot of meme projects ranging. Not too much action otherwise than that, but I think it almost makes our job a little bit easier. Buy a Pepe or buy a Gossamer Seed, dude. You know, or if you're a big roller,
scoop yourself up another deed, I guess, so you can go do the playable demo. And that's it for the weather report. Pio, back to you in the studio.
Nice. Well, I'm happy that you brought up Moon Pepes, because I did see basically our whole Discord and a lot of wallets that I track buying them. It seems like it was a real cook. It's at 0.18. I don't know. I'm assuming it started either free or near free. So wish I was near my computer when that happened. Well, we got some hands raised by some familiar faces that I'm excited to hear from, and some new faces. Let's start off with Wappy, that badass Moonbird. Wappy's in the mood to make content. What's going on?
I wanted to say, this is not a trade that I did, but on the Moon Pepes. And I think that this is an example of, I saw somebody posting yesterday about, I think there's been a couple things that have been posted the past couple days. It's about the amount of people who are actually making money in the NFT space and the tiers of money that they're making. And it's actually a smaller amount of people that are actually making significant amount of money than you would think. And then there was also just using data to your advantage in this space. And somebody put it out a thread, I think it was NFT God maybe, basically saying, if you're not using data to your advantage, that's going to be what puts you in that bucket of people who are definitely not making money, or they're only making money through luck. So one of my good friends, I spent some time with him in NFT NYC. His name is Pedro Ponix. I believe he uses like a rarity sniper tool. So what he actually did on the Moon Pepes yesterday was something that just like, he sent me something and I took like a double take on it because I didn't realize it was him. But there was a sales bot that looked at everything. So when Rare Pepes came, or Moon Pepes, sorry, I think I was calling him Rare Pepes, but Moon Pepes, when Moon Pepes came out yesterday, he sniped a one of one for 0.03 and within 2 hours had flipped it for 1.69 ETH. So whoa. I just think that that's a great example of how you can use data, and there still are opportunities to trade right now, but you need to be smart with what you're doing, because that's just an incredible return in 2 hours.
Yeah, I mean, and you're totally right that everybody's getting wrecked in the NFT market, and that's always how it has been. The people that were earlier were able to get some advantages, but correct me if I'm wrong, at this point with the current floor price of Moonbirds, for example, people that bought even immediately on the secondary at 8 ETH or 8.5 ETH, I think they're still basically underwater, or they're right at break even. Like, I'm looking at the floor price in terms of US dollars, right? 20.5 ETH is the current floor price for a badass Moonbird with purple eyes and a green mohawk. And that's 25K in USD. And if you think about 8.5 ETH at $3,100 per Ethereum at that time, that's right there. That's the same price. You know what I mean? So even if you were quote unquote early to Moonbirds, unless you won that raffle and got that, you know, that mint, you're either at break even or, you know, straight up underwater right now. I mean, after fees and after royalty, you are underwater. So that's something I think about. Micah has his hand raised. What's popping?
Well, yesterday I made one trade, and it was not Moon Pepes. It was the other one that came out. That was like a derivative off of Moonbirds.
Moon Runners?
No, I can't remember what the name of it was, but I was in and out real quick for like
Moon Turtles.
That's what it was, Moon Turtles. So there I was like, I'm a degen on some Moon Turtles. Bought in at like 0.05 and sold out at like 0.08. And I'm pretty sure that I made an actual $6 gain after gas. So that was real frustrating. I don't know. It kind of feels like we're just rearranging money right now. So I'm really scared to catch any of the pumps, because it just feels like the money is like coming out of the project of the week into another project of the week. So that's, I'm just cautious right now. Is like, you know, Gossamer Seed feels like you missed it. Like I'm a little scared to get in any of that. So I'm trying to degen on that side, but like, of course, Easy is gonna love this. But it's so hard right now on anything that isn't, you know, that isn't gasless transactions, just because people are so quick to get back out. So I thought that I timed that pump perfectly or relatively good, and I still just ended up basically even. So, you know, so that probably wasn't worth the stress. Yeah, I mean, I'm literally just staring at other deeds right now, and I'm not going to get into it. Pio doesn't want me to, probably.
No, I'm down to talk about other deeds. I don't want to theorize about video games for 45 minutes so the audience goes to sleep.
And my key though is like, at this point you're not trading on the video game. Like, you're literally just trading on, do they capture attention for a few moments? I think I saw Nate, was it like Nate Rivers was talking about it? And I'm a little scared. I'm a little scared that he had the, because he was sort of the reason it pumped. He like swept 30 of them and was like, I was buying at 27,000. Why wouldn't I buy at 2,000? But what scared me is he had the exact same thought.
I can give you
thought,
some reasons.
Like, yeah. but like he had the exact same thought of like, oh, I'm just hoping the demo is hype and, you know, it'll pump off of that. So I feel like no one that's trading right now actually wants to play the game. And unfortunately, I feel like I fall into that camp. Like, I don't have time to actually play the game. But to counter one point of easy that I found yesterday is if you look at the roadmap on other side, it does actually have like 5 or 6 interesting roadmap items that come before the additional lands. So if you look at that like otherside.xyz/obelisk, a lot of stuff that would be groundbreaking if they brought it out, like the resources, the decoupling of your coda from the land, the decoupling of your art of your artifacts from the land, all that stuff will come out before
they got
the
60 days,
100,000 lands.
60 days.
So, well, they can push that
60
back.
Days.
They can push that back. They're not going to move to roadmap 7, but I think like this is entirely a bet on the demo on July 16th. So, it's everything else feels like shuffling it around. Right now it feels almost like a cubist bet on other side. I feel like you stand, if that demo is good, it probably goes to 6 or 7 ETH. Like, does anyone disagree with that?
Ooh.
If it's bad, it goes to 1 ETH with speed.
Right. It's a cubist bet, right? It's basically like an up down.
Spencer, what do you think?
I don't see the upside there on other deeds. I think that other deeds are a situation like this. I know this is the camp I'm in. I think this is a camp a lot of people are in, where I bought it a while ago, probably should have sold it, at this point, I'm in for the ride. Maybe I'll trade on some news. And I think that regardless of what the news is, unless it's super giga bullish, which I think it would be hard to think of what that even is, like what we're going to see is a lot of people who are waiting for news to sell, regardless of what the news is, trying to sell. Like the supply of other deeds is so incredibly high. For it to pump to 7 ETH would be the same as like if it were a companion collection being at 28 ETH. And I don't think we'll see, because like I'm multiplying by, or actually sorry, 35 ETH, I'm multiplying by 5, because I'm assuming if it was like a 20k collection, like let's say mutants, and I don't see other deeds flipping mutants by market cap. Like I don't think that makes sense to me, unless maybe codas really do become their own thing. But
well, on that note though, Spencer, because of the supply of other deeds and the, you know, it's like a whole world, it's a whole metaverse, couldn't they theoretically flip mutants?
No, there's no world in which that happens. It's just not possible. Just like, give up on that hope.
I'm
just kidding.
But I think that Yuga has taken some of the utility of mutants and Bored Apes and said, hey, we airdropped you a free land. Now when it comes to the gameplay side, the land is what gives you benefits. So I think if Bored Apes and Mutant Apes think that just holding a board and a Mutant Ape will get them stuff in the game utility, I think that has been transferred to their land. So if the game takes off, you might get a cool avatar as a Bored Ape or a Mutant Ape, but you don't get airdrops. You don't get resources. You don't get whatever. Like, that's coming to the land. So if that ends up becoming clear, if that is the case, I think that does make the pricing shift a little bit. Again, I'm not saying buy this. This is a cubist bet. If it goes poorly,
what does
it
a
goes
cubes
way
bet
down.
Mean?
Sorry, I guess.
Well, Nick, if you got into Solana, you could bet on floor prices.
Yeah, essentially just a floor price bet. Like, if this thing goes south, it probably goes really low.
Wait,
but
can
if
you
it
explain
goes low, you
actually
maybe go...
define cubist bet and
okay, cubist it's a... like a cube, dude. It's like a cube, okay? And if you look at a cube, there's like 8 sides to it.
I appreciate
so
all
there's...
the condescending tones coming
no,
at
no,
me
Nick,
right
I'm
now,
trying to explain it like... to you. If you would let me explain it to you. So there's 8 sides to a cube, meaning there's 8 different outcomes that can happen here, okay? It's not rocket science, buddy.
All right, Nick, so I'm serious shit. It's a Solana project called Cubist Collective. They released a betting site that allows you to gamble salamis on the over or under of what the floor price will be 1 hour after a mint, 24 hours after a mint, 7 days after a mint. They also allow you to gamble on the salami price after X amount of time. It is absolute gamba meta. It's great.
Sounds great. I want to hear from Spencer, though. I jumped in to contribute.
How do you spell Cubis?
Nick, I'll text you it.
No. I think the audience, I don't know if y'all realize this.
We're hosting a show right now. It's Cubist.
I mean, yeah, that's how you spell Cubist.
Why am I don't understand. I feel like I'm alone on an island. We're hosting a show. You're using words to articulate something, and the majority of people have no idea what the fuck any of y'all are talking about. So I'm just speaking on behalf of the people who don't speak this foreign language that you're currently speaking right now. So if you guys would respect the audience in a way which they deserve, then that's why they come say hello to me and not to you idiots, okay?
Sounds like that heartburn isn't fully cleared up, huh?
I was going to say, it sounds like chocolate. This is a chocolate hangover at this point. And by the way, I Googled Cubist Bet as soon as Micah said it without spelling it. And the first thing that came up is Cubist
Collective.
It just
doesn't show up. Literally, you can't find this thing. No one has any clue what the hell he was talking about. And we were all confused for a long period
audience.
Of time.
A coin flip. A coin flip bet. You're losing or winning like 2 Ethereum.
Anyway, I want to hear from Spencer to bring a little bit more IQ into this conversation. Go ahead, Spencer.
Yeah, I was just going to say that like the thing with the argument about other deeds in the game, etc. Like there's reasons to potentially be bullish on the game, but I'm just bullish on the Yacht Club. Like I think to me the next big bump in the ecosystem is going to be the opening of the Miami Club. I also don't think that the Miami Club is going to be the last club. Right. So I think when you look at it, and Turbo Farmer tweeted this out, and I thought it was really funny. He was like, it's not the Bored Ape Land Club. It's not the Bored Land Yacht Club. It's the Bored Ape Yacht Club. Right.
And that's so, a good tweet.
Like, I find it hard. I mean, we haven't seen bullishness around video games in a while, and I don't know why people would put the market cap of other deeds above the market cap of mutants. That's just like my personal take.
Yeah, it's fair. The only thing is the supply, and that's what makes me kind of like, okay, you know, if they have this grandiose vision of what other deed is going to be, then you know, that's the only way that I could kind of see it. I wanted to say, like, so because just from a pure price action perspective, today's June 28th. The first trip is July 16th. We're witnessing a pump right now, maybe not like right this second, but over the past 24 hours, you know, do we think it's just a continual pump into this news event? Like, is that what we're thinking?
Just straight vertical. Yeah. For 1 month straight. Yes.
But
and by the
all
way,
seriousness.
Captain Kicks, I just wanted to interject real quick that a cube has 6 sides and Micah Easy and Captain each occupy 2 of those sides of dumb. So anyways, sorry, nice. PO, continue. Nice.
Kix, you have your hand raised. I don't know if you want to weigh in on this or talk about something else, but yeah, I am curious what people think, you know, considering we got over 2 weeks until this first trip, is it up only? Like, what does the price action look like?
Yeah, first of all, I'm glad that you got a good grade in geometry because I got like a C-, so I'll go with you, 6 sides. That makes sense. Yeah, I mean, it could keep pumping up into the reveal for sure. I mean, I think a lot of it is like inside baseball, meaning that it's like people in the that are bullish on Yuga Labs are just accumulating more. I don't think it's like a significant percentage of people like outside that are like new to NFTs and like, oh man, there's a playable demo and other deeds. Like, I need to get in now. Because first of all, guess what? Other deeds is going to be free to play, bro. You don't need a land to play other deeds. But either way, the action is great. I wanted to comment real quick because I think it was funny. This morning, like, I woke up and I scrolled on my feed and I swear I saw like 5 tweets. People were like, yeah, man, I hope you got enough other deeds, man. Like, I hope you accumulated enough of the other deeds. Like, it, you know, that, you know, it's like a gigabrain move to have bought them at 2 ETH. I'm like, dude, I'm like down 85% from like minting it. Like, cool your jets a little bit. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, dude, hope you scooped up enough of these, man. Like, no brainer play. It's like, dude, I'm fucking underwater by like, you know, $25,000. Like, let's wait until I get back to break even before we pull out the trumpets.
yeah, for sure. I mean, the quotas are down so much, and yeah, I wouldn't be celebrating too much just yet.
What are we at now? It's like $15,000 for a quota, down from $100,000.
Well, I didn't want to talk all about
this. Yeah, Nick, but I hope you scoop Coda's at the bottom, dude. That was a no-brainer play, man. Hope you. I mean, like, how'd you not see that one coming?
The floor has gone from, like, 2 ETH to 2.5 ETH, and everyone's like, other deeds are ripping.
Well, what I was going to say, though, is the action is better than it has been. You have to give it credit. There's normal other deeds that are selling for 5 Ethereum, which again is way less than they were selling even within a week and a half in US dollar terms right afterwards, right? Like in US dollar terms, holy shit, if you just sold your other deeds. Theo,
it's not even like the people in secondary got wrecked. I minted this shit, dude. I'm fucking soaking wet, dude, underwater.
It's so ridiculous. And you lucked out and got a Coda. But like, for example, a non-Coda land sold for 9 Ethereum 5 hours ago. That's 11,000 bucks. That's pretty good. A Coda land that's not even a mutant land sold for 29.5 Ethereum, which is 36,000 bucks 5 hours ago. And there's just 5 ETH and 10 ETH non-Coda land sprinkled in there with those Coda sales at like 29 ETH. So look, this is a site for sore eyes for other deed people. So I think what you're talking about, Kix, is people just, you know when the EMTs come through and they blast you with the life support and you're like, you know, you're shaking a little bit and you come back to life a little bit. I think that's what we're seeing. So I actually pulled up my wallet and I realized my mutant Coda land is listed right now for 32.69 ETH. So that's 40,000 bucks. And if we're 16 days away from this event, do I delist that thing and I hold out for 50,000 or 60,000 bucks? Like, what do I do on that? And then we can move on from other deeds, but I'm just curious if anyone has opinions. I know Easy's opinion is sell the thing right now, but if anybody else has any thoughts on that, like, do you think that since we're already flirting with 32 ETH, there's a 29.5 ETH sale for a Coda on non-mutant land, and there was a $160,000 sale for a Chaos Coda. So these are the sales that we were seeing like 2 months ago. I even tweeted about this 2 months ago and Keyboard Monkey, responded with a bearish tweet. He's been a mega bear on other deed, but I don't know. Does anybody think that we can actually get to like 50K for mutant Codas, 60K?
Well, here's the thing. What Spencer said is kind of like spot on with like, it's Bored Ape Yacht Club, not Bored Ape Land Club. Like you have to look at them like completely differently, meaning that like Bored Ape Yacht Club isn't priced based on like it actually being like a revenue generated kind of thing. Like you can make a small argument that like, yeah, the airdrops were like revenue generating thing, but it's like access to an elite club, right? Versus it, maybe I'm wrong, but everything in the other deeds ecosystem, like you're going to make money on land because land's going to like generate resources for you, right? You know what I mean? Like it's going to generate things for you that are going to have monetary value. So like the land, other than speculation, like the value, why do you want an other deed land? It doesn't get you access into the Bored Ape Yacht Club, right? Like I don't think you could have gotten into Ape Fest with an other deed's land, could you? Maybe I'm wrong. But like it's you're betting on basically making like the game being so successful that the land itself is going to generate enough revenue for you to make it. So like when someone's buying a $360,000 plot of land, like are they expecting it's going to generate resources that's going to be worth $700,000 over 2 or 3 years? You know what I mean? It's a completely different like value measurement ball game, and I'm not sure people are fully grasping that yet.
I saw someone standing outside of Ape Fest, this gentleman, and he called himself the Land Baron, and he was saying, I deserve to be inside this place. I am a land baron of other deeds. Let me in. And they said, you can't be let in. You're not part of the club. And he said, how dare you? You're going to get low paid on my land when we move to the metaverse. I'm going to give you low wages and I'm going to potentially abuse you for this sort of maltreatment that I've been receiving at this point in time. And a lot of people sat and just laughed in his face. And it was just really an absurd situation. The land baron walked away, did a walk of shame that evening. I watched him walk away. There were tears in his eyes. And I felt no sadness toward this gentleman. I just thought he was so out of touch. And, you know, I was just thinking, what a dumb idiot. He thinks that his millions of dollars of virtual land is going to be retain that value indefinitely. But in all seriousness, I would also say, P.O., you might as well at this point see play out what happens for the
quota. For like the next 16 days.
The problem is you're going to end up paying a bunch of tax. So the question is, like, do you want? I mean, it's a significant amount of money. If you could, if they give you $40,000 right now, like usually when I'm watching these different things, especially when I get airdropped it, I look at it and I say, wow, that's a lot of money that someone just handed me. I'm going to take that money. And the other thing that I'm still anticipating until proven otherwise, and I may be proven otherwise, is that ETH drops further. So you could see another 50% ride down. And I think the same thing goes with my...
Dude, you're going to look like a real idiot when the guy that bought your land is just selling rare resources off of it for like 10 ETH a pop. Because, you know, little dingleberries running around in other deeds. Like, oh, I need a rare artifact in order to complete the quest of Mordor. How much ETH is that, buddy?
I just don't think they're going to be paying 10 ETH. But, you know, I could be proven wrong. This could be like the most expensive video game that has ever been played, you know, where you're like sitting there and people are like, hold on one sec. So in order to get the cheat code here, you paid $30,000. What the hell is going on? Or to get some rare resource that enables you to convert all of the people on your land that mistreated you at Ape Fest into low paid workers. Then I think that that's something, you know, that seems like a great superpower that I'm looking forward to. I don't own any land at this point in time, and I am feeling a little bit left out. I don't own land in the real world, and now that's converted into the virtual world as well. So there's a good chance that I end up broke as fucking both.
Nick's definitely a have not on that. I'm excited about all the speakers we have on stage ready to discuss all things NFT. If you're just tuning in, this is the NFT Morning Show. We do this show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Eastern time, where we discuss all things virtual land, virtual JPEGs, everything that's going on in the NFT market. I'm P.O. I'm here with my co-host, Nifty Nick, Captain Kicks, Easy Eats Bodega, and the speakers we have on stage are absolute rock stars. We definitely missed Signal today. Shout out to Signal. And as always, this show is sponsored by FTX. You can sign up at thenifty.com/FTX or with the code TheNifty on your FTX mobile app. There was a rumor that FTX was going to buy Robinhood, but it turns out that was not true. They have bigger plans. They're going to buy the Nifty, which is our company, for like $200 million, which is definitely pretty cool. So shout out to FTX, our sponsor. All right.
I was just going to say, if you missed a tweet last night, the fact that Bloomberg was able to get that story wrong just to me signifies the fact that our newsroom is competitive with Bloomberg. When we got the Cool Cat story wrong, you know, we got a little bit, we were a little off. But other than that, you know, like in comparison, Bloomberg got this bigger story just completely wrong. And so I'm feeling pretty good about our newsroom now in performance in comparison to Bloomberg. So you're welcome to everybody. Stay tuned because we're going to be doing some more breaking news stories.
Fuck yeah. So we got Ali Sharifi. It says that Ali is an NFT collector. He's a hybrid. Art and PFP degen. Nothing you say is financial advice. We know that that's bullshit. But I don't believe you've been on the show before, buddy. You have a badass moonbird with a wizard hat and some glasses. You're looking pretty sophisticated. What is on your mind?
Hi, Pio. Hi, Nick. I've been following you guys after the show. You did the live Instagram show with Mariano. He's a cool friend of mine. Yeah.
Yeah, shout out Mariano. He's got to work on his looks.
Are we still talking about the other deeds or something else?
Fuck it. Yeah, let's keep it rolling. I think there's some people that want to keep talking about it. Hey, look, if you're in the Discord and you're just so mad at me, just don't listen to the show.
I want to talk about game theory for a moment, PL. Hold on one moment.
All right. Go ahead, Ali.
Now, my I have a question, actually. What's your take on these new trends of projects doing spaces? Like last night, I was in Moonrunner space. I went up. We were making wolf sounds for 1 hour, and I didn't get anything out of it. And like Meme Land did the same thing. They were just playing music, and afterwards they were playing Google Play sound that we under promise, over deliver. I want to know what you guys think about that.
Anybody?
So they were trying to manifest Goblin Town, but with other animal noises. Is that correct?
Like they are bringing a new model. They like if you see new projects are coming in, they are having their own way of font, and like they like with the Moon Runners, they're doing something new. They put hands up, like palms up. Everybody put their hands up, and they play wolf sounds. And they were saying, assuming that there's a code being played, but it was wolf sound and nothing else, like puppies and stuff like that. I don't know if you heard that space or not.
I didn't hear that. However, you know, Twitter Spaces is clearly dead. Anyone who's hosting them is, wait, hold on. well, yeah, you know, for us, it works really well. For everybody else, just an awful idea. In general, look, I think,
content,
content is a huge thing, and there's a limited amount of it still, at this point in time. I discussed this, or Pio and I discussed this regularly, and it's like we need even more competitors in this space, if you can call it competitors. I just think more people who are providing their voices. That said, if you're trying to replicate, you know, what Goblin Town did, that's going to be quite difficult. And if that's what your entire project is based on memes, that's a pretty tough thing to do. Memes are created mostly by the community. Like, it's trying to capture lightning in a bottle, and good luck doing that.
We Are All Gonna Die did a good job, because they you know, came up with like, hey, what if it's a cult, and what if we burn valuable PFPs that'll get people's attention? It turned out to be a rug pull, right? They just ended up, you know, spending, they made a lot of money. They made like several hundred ETH. So they took like 20 ETH of it and bought a mutant and burned it. And everyone's like, oh shit. They made another couple hundred ETH after that. And then that's just a clean rug. Like we see.
But their names were all going to die. Like, you had to expect them to just light this whole thing on fire. Like, it was like the sixth attempt at a social experiment on Twitter at that point. It was great to follow. Like, I was fascinated, but I think they went out in a perfect blaze of glory there. Just killing the project like the mutant.
Yeah, blaze of glory, taking all money and
wait,
running.
They killed it?
It's down to 0.14.
It's over, Nick. It was a rug pull. It's over. There's no more we're going to die. A few guys got rich. Congratulations. Or not even got rich, but made like $300,000 to $500,000 a piece. So good job.
when it's a free mint, are we allowed to call them a rug pull again?
I mean, dude, we can think of it however we want. I wouldn't have bought it at 1.4 ETH. You know what
yes,
I mean?
You can, because other people ended up buying it. I saw a cool cat that was sold for like 80% loss, and those people lost tens of thousands of dollars. I think, it's hard to call
cool
it a rug
different.
Pull in the same way. There's a slight difference, but I think the bottom line is there becomes this sort of thing where the community has this conviction, and the narrative around it is that this is a big project. I guess if you came out and it's a free mint and you say this is a rug pull, I mean, there's a called We Are Going to Die. So, I mean, it's hard to consider that a secure investment. But if you're making any promises of ongoing development of stuff, then that becomes a whole other
they didn't promise anything. They just burned the mutant, and they say we're all gonna die with a nice voiceover sound.
Yeah, I mean, look, this stuff happens in the NFT space all the time. Until the space can, like, I feel like there needs to be some recognition by the market at some point that the NFT space is actually like a collection of startups, and it's almost like a new structure to funding a startup. The thing is there's people that take advantage of that and they rug pull, right? So I don't know, man. We Are Gonna Die, they're not gonna do anything more. So
they were creating like really high quality content, though, from what I recall on Twitter.
They were making full videos and stuff. Like, it was, they were doing a damn good job.
Yeah, you got to work hard to make 1.4 million bucks, you know?
No, but my main point is the fact that they were like actively creating that. At that point, it's hard to say, like, it kind of does become a rug pull when you just disappear. because you're putting on this thing as though you're developing something, and then you just stop. So that I don't know. We could discuss the nuances of rug pulls, and we should do a list of the top 20 rug pulls in the NFT space on a future episode. I got some
ideas on that one. Moving on, we got I know that Alpha B has been waiting for a while. It says that you buy random shit and people should follow you if they are true degens. What is going on, Alpha B?
Yo, how's it going?
Good, man. Good to have you on the show.
Thank you. Thank you. So I think it was Ali that was speaking about Moonrunners. Because I've been part of the community and stuff, and like most of the spaces are all held by the community. I think I even seen him in one of the spaces, and he picked up, I think, a Moonrunner. So with that project, I think it's more law-based, and they like put hints out in their tweets and stuff to keep the community like kind of engaged.
Cool, man. Well, yeah, I mean, it's a top three... Yeah, it's top three volume right now. Moonrunners official. Is it? Someone told me yesterday that it's from Zeneca's 333 Academy. Like a 333 member started this. Is this correct?
I think I've heard that as well, but I'm not 100% sure. Also, there was something they've done like in the contract with moon phases. So every moon phase, I don't know if like your PFP is going to change or something, which got like a lot of attraction just because of that. And I think the first moon phase is happening today. At 11:30 p.m. Eastern, so I'm just waiting on that, to be honest, and see what happens.
Our PFPs are going to change, Alpha, so our walls are going to change.
I don't know if it's going to change, but there's something in the code that like had a lot of people hyped up, and that's why it was like they had so much hype and stuff.
Well, it's a free mint, no Discord, no roadmap, CCO, so good luck with that. We'll see how that is. We're 1 week in. And I don't know where, like in 3 months, I have to imagine that this is going down. I don't know.
Yeah, let me explain to you how it works.
I just seen it and I thought I'd get in. So,
Captain Kicks, go ahead.
There's layers of circles, right? With these kind of pumps, right? You want to be close to the source. The farther away you are from the source, the higher percentage you are exit liquidity.
Well, there you go. Jesse, you got your hand raised. What's going on?
What's up, Pio? No, yeah, I was just on the tail end of the other side, which I know no one wants to talk about. I'm still, as a bear market asset, I'm kind of high on ApeCoin. I have been for a while. And my theory is if the market recovers and things are good and all the apes are feeling good, you know, it'll go above five. You know, it's at like five right now. If you know, bottoms at four, that really feels like about the lowest it could possibly go. And if things recover, you're fine. It'll make a, you know, go up to, who knows, 6, 7, 8. And if not, if it's a bear market, it's like the one thing that, like, when the apes start really freaking out, like, what's coming next, you can always just throw a Hail Mary and just kind of tease anything and say, oh, yeah, you can use your ape for blah, blah, X, you know, XYZ, and give it a quick pump, and you can sell into a quick pump. You know, I guess, of course, there's always a downside. This is financial advice, by the way. Why would any of us be talking about this shit if it wasn't financial advice? But yeah, so I still like ApeCoin a little bit, you know, if it dips again. And it's also liquid, so you can just kind of just get rid of it whenever you want.
Yeah, it is an altcoin, so it's subject to the altcoin market. Nick, you have your hand raised. What's up?
Well, I was just going to say, Ronan the Collector posted a tweet to me defending Moonrunners and also WAGD, which said basically Moonrunner space did have a lot of hidden messages, and the community spent 2 hours decoding it. So there was a puzzle, and it was entertaining. And then also, WAGD isn't dead. There's a Spaces today with another team, Macroverse HQ, which I'm not familiar with. So they're not dead yet. Like
Nick, did you say that Moonrunners, they like everyone had to do a puzzle together?
Yes.
Oh, never mind. I'm completely flipping my thesis then. Yeah. To the moon.
Going straight to the moon here. It was hard for me. I look at the NFT and it was just difficult. I also think it's funny. Like, I'd be interested. Someone in our Discord needs to create a project. And then, like, what does that mean as a signal? Like, people are like, oh, man, they're in the Nifty Alpha Discord. Like, would we be shorting the shit out of that project?
Yeah,
that
like, is super embarrassed. I'd be flooring
the
every
founder
that
would
I got.
Be selling it on us. They'd be like, yeah, nah, I'm selling my bags. The Nifty Discord, man, they love to sell. Someone's got to make a project.
We literally had that happen with someone stole Easy's PFP, turned it into an entire project, then started commenting on our YouTube. Basically just ran a scam straight out of the Discord. So props to that person if they got anybody to buy.
Heads up, they never minted. I did talk to the person. They were an OG in the Soul Trades. It was going to be a free mint, and I was like, please don't do this. Like, this is a bad decision.
That's the type of high-quality networking you get in our Discord. So please do go buy one of our NFTs so you can hop in there and have conversations with only the elite of the elite.
100%. We got D-Gent. It seems like you're the host of the D-Gent show. Says that you are learning the NFT space. Then you throw up Kathy Wood, you represent, and you throw up ARK Invest. It looks like you actually have a picture of you and Kathy Wood, so that's very cool. What is going on, D-Gent, with the Gucci Bored Ape?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for bringing me on stage. Yeah, I've been listening to your show for probably over a month.
Thank you.
Awesome.
I'm
but
sorry.
No, I got hooked on it because, I mean, P.O., you're great and all, but Nick is just, I think he's absolutely hilarious. And I enjoy all the.
You could have just complimented Nick without just.
That was a jab and a compliment. I like that type of compliment.
Hey, P.O., at least you were referenced.
He punched you in the face on the way to patting me on the back, and that's the type of compliments we're looking for. Please continue.
Yeah, see, that's why Nick and I, we get along great. I guess the conversation's changed about 15 times since I've had my hand up, but I was actually going to come on and talk a little bit about or get your comments on the Moonbirds and what happened with the AI Nightbirds in that situation, because as you noted, I got lucky enough, I got dumb lucky enough to have a chance meeting with Kathy Wood at a charity event, and she's new to the St. Pete area, so she wasn't really talking to anybody, and I got to spend about 15 minutes of that conversation. That picture you see is actually my wife. So my
I realized
wife
that as soon as you started speaking, I realized it was not you, yes.
Yeah. So anyway,
you never know.
So my wife thought I was on fire during this conversation with her because she was intrigued by the whole NFT space and doesn't really know a lot about the space. So at the end of our conversation, she pulled out her business card and said, you know, I'd like to have you on my weekly Zoom call. So for the last 2.5 months, I've actually been on a 2-hour Zoom call with her every week with her and her team. And so I'm kind of, you know, skiing over my skis a little bit, and that's why I listen to these shows, because I feel like I'm the only one on this weekly call that knows, you know, anything about NFTs, but I'm slowly trying to, you know, put my two cents in about this space. But they do have interesting we spend about 45 minutes a week talking about crypto and then a little bit about NFTs, so she's starting to learn. And her head of research had a really interesting point about how AI and what it can do to the NFT space. And after he was explaining what could happen, he was using the analogy of the music NFTs, how AI can take an artist, you know, these music NFTs come out, and AI can take that song and change it enough to where they wouldn't have to pay copyrights, but at the same time, you would still recognize and enjoy the song. So that was what he was talking about. And then I gave the analogy of using Moonbirds and AI Nightbirds, what they did. And I actually, she's never heard of Moonbirds, but I actually emailed her, you know, what I was talking about. I sent her a screenshot of, you know, the original Moonbirds and then what happened with AI. So if you think about that example, when you look at AI Nightbirds, your mind obviously, you know, makes that connection with what the Moonbirds look like. And I think that's the same thing in the music NFTs. So that's one of the.
Whatever you're doing is working, because Blockworks just tweeted, Kathy Wood, : digital property rights represented by NFTs are going to become incredibly important. So you're doing the good Lord's work out there, brother. Let's go!
So I just want to say shout out to DGent for repackaging this, the absolute quality delivered in this show. Hopefully the jokes are also being carried over to Kathy Wood. And now we have Kathy's advisor on here. That's absolutely phenomenal. That sounds, that's exciting that you're delivering that information to her. I'm sort of simultaneously concerned that our show is a primary source for that insight. We're all kind of screwed now. But I wouldn't great job. Primary.
Yeah, I mean, let's get her on both shows.
Yeah,
no, I was going to ask you about that because, you know, I've only been on there for 2.5 months, so I'm slowly, and I'm, you know, out of the 1,400 people on this show, I'm probably, you know, as far as intelligence, I'm probably ranked about 1398. So
I'm 1399, so we're good.
Okay. So, yeah, so I'm just, you know, there's some, I'm definitely the dumbest person on the calls every week because she's got some really unbelievable people on there, but it's for me it's almost like a fly in the wall situation. But they did have a couple weeks ago they were talking about I sent her all the information on the when the other deeds launched and gave her some information on that. So they actually talked about it that following week, and some of her analysts had a very interesting take on the Bored Apes, if you want to hear it.
Hell yeah, let's get Kathy Wood's team's analysis of Bored Apes and other deeds. Take it from here, DeGent.
You might not like it.
No, it's all good.
Bring it on.
I like it both ways, yeah. I don't own any, so that's actually FUD the shit out of it, please, so I can buy it for cheap.
The other thing is, like, you got to remember that all we care about is good content. And, like, I was literally talking, not trash, but just saying that I'm short-term bearish on other deeds for this year, yet I own at this point, $45,000 worth. So go ahead, let it rip.
Well, it was one of our youngest analysts, and he does know the DeFi space very well. And he's one that they go to for what's happening in the DeFi, which is another absolute mess. But
is it the guy that posts the Bitcoin analysis? Because that guy is brilliant.
Yeah, you could. The head of research, Brett Winston, is on the. He leads the call every week. So you know he's not crazy about NFTs, but the other analyst, I think his name is Frank, first name is Frank, I believe, but he was saying that, and he had a really great point. He said that Bored Apes up until this point has minted their way to success, right? So you have the utility being provided by all these different mints. You know, you had the mutants, you had, you know, the ape coin, and now you have the other deeds dropping. And he says that at some point an investment has to have like a certain ROI utility. And once we know actually what, because it's too much mystery. There's so much unknown right now, right? So he says, as it gets more known what the utility is going to be on these land pieces and the game pieces, he said, what's going to happen is when the market figures out what the true utility is for these assets, the value is going to intersect at that point. Because right now there's a lot of speculation. It's true on any investment at the beginning, right? Nobody, you know, you see such fluctuation because nobody really knows what the true value is going to be. So it's a speculation gamble or on the future. But once it gets a little more solidified what that utility is going to be, then, and he thinks the price is going to come down to match that utility. And the only caveat I would put on there is I believe that that's a very good point. But at the same time, I'm not in Bored Apes, but I think that Bored Apes obviously is similar to it's signaling. So it's kind of like, it's kind of like the Lamborghini in the space. It's always going to have that value of signaling.
As a pure play collectible. As a pure play collectible. And I don't know if they're thinking about it as a pure financial asset, and you have to look at it as a collectible.
Although the question that exists there, and so I fully agree with this person, and we were discussing this the other day with Micah Johnson, actually, when we were at NFT NYC. We were having a conversation, and I was like, dude, rule number one is deliver nothing. Instead, you want to, and I don't mean that like legitimately like rug people. I mean it from the standpoint that anticipation is has a massive premium in this space. And so that's what the best, if you're able to develop anticipation, then you're able to generate a higher floor price. I look at Goblin Town as an example of that. And then I also look at, I've been saying for a long time that the premium of Bored Apes over CryptoPunks is that difference of the anticipation of something being released. Theoretically, CryptoPunks at this point in time are kind of the example of what premium people are willing to pay for just having a pure play collectible, as Pia was saying. And I think that that's, and then after that, you need to say like, how much are people willing to pay for like a Rolex or something like that? That's, it's got to be something in that range to a certain degree. Now there's higher end collectibles and people like using the tobacco cards from back in the day. I'm blanking on the name of the player.
Onus Wagner.
Yeah, Onus Wagner. There you go. But those sorts of cards as like the benchmark. But yeah, I think this person is spot on. And yeah, the premium of apes over punks is the anticipation of the difference of the premium. And you could even argue that if you think that CryptoPunks should have a premium over apes, then actually the relative price, let's say that you think the ape should be $50,000 or whatever, then there's a $50,000 anticipated essentially dividend that someone's expecting in the next like 12 to 24 months within apes. So that's how I sort of view that. So yeah, I think that person's spot on.
Yeah. So also I'm actually, I've kind of, you know, starting to, you know, because they do these calls on Zoom, and I was like, have you ever thought about, you know, doing them on Discord with that community? But she also actually wants to, which is why she was intrigued to add me to her weekly calls, is because she actually wants to start an expo or you know, a different, like, kind of like NFT stuff, but she wants to do something more in lines with South by Southwest event and bring something like that to St. Pete. So she wants, you know, she wants me to help her with that, because that's kind of a little bit of my background as far as big events and stuff. But that's probably maybe why she added me.
She wants to compete with us, Kevin Rose. That's,
you got to get us involved with that and be a featured, do a live show from the Kathy Wood. I mean, that'd be hilarious.
Absolute riot.
I think she could have these calls. Or call these calls like it. And she did this stuff on Twitter Space. I mean, I would imagine that would be a pretty big, interesting, because it is very interesting. It's like I said, it's like a fly on the wall. You're listening to these people, these thought leaders, you know, talking. And it's a 2-hour call too, so it's a lot of information. But it's kind of surreal that I'm actually on these calls. I just feel completely out of place, but
it's going to be especially surreal when you convince Kathy to come on this show. So we're really looking forward to that. Wait, that's exciting, DJ.
Yeah, great job with networking. That's like literally, that's a perfect story for like legitimately of networking effectively, and you know, just to be able to sit on those calls is pretty awesome. So I'm sure there's a lot of people that like to be a fly on the wall. I mean, right now I think she does a weekly YouTube video or maybe twice a week. I've seen a couple of them. And then also her takes on inflation was interesting, although I have no idea, you know, whether or not I don't know if I fully agree with her perspective, but she has like a huge team, and that's pretty awesome to, you know, be there and have access to that. So congrats.
I can just tell you, her head of research, that Brett Winston, if you want to follow him on Twitter, I mean, that guy is, I mean, I think he might be the smartest person I've ever heard speak. I mean, this guy knows so much about everything, and he looks like he's in his 40s, but just the depth of information this guy has on a lot of different topics with, you know, with genome stuff and the whole, you know, CRISPR and technology, and he seems like he knows.
Because they invest in that. They're all over that.
Oh, yeah. So we talk about that. We talk a lot about, they always talk about Tesla and stuff, but.
Let's go. Well, dude, DGen, thank you for coming, man. I followed you. Hope you can come back. Hope that you can convince Kathy Wood that we're worth even 15 minutes of her time. She can pop on anytime. I'll DM you, man. We'll sidebar. Getting back to the show, we got Renegade. Yeah, of course, man. Stick around. We got Renegade Master. I just want to let everybody know through a little reset what the show is all about if they're just joining, because they just heard a lot of Kathy Wood talk. This is the NFT Morning Show. We do this show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time. The show is sponsored by FTX. Our NFT is pinned to the top. You can buy that and have an NFT that was officially released by a Web3 media company. Join our Discord community. Hope to see you in there. And as always, if you have something to say, request to speak. We got a full house right now, but tomorrow, you already know, 9 a.m., request to speak. You'll get on stage to talk all things NFT market. So let me throw to Renegade Master. You bought a CryptoPunk recently. So did Nifty Nick. Congratulations. What's on your mind, Renegade Master?
Hi, guys. Firstly, with the punk, unfortunately, I'm not as cashed up as Nick. So I just bought a floor punk.
Great move, though,
of Nick's. But I'm considering the paper hands in me is considering a quick flip, because I think it's up like 25 ETH from where I bought it, and ETH is up like 30%. So, like, I think I agree with Nick that punks are probably gonna touch 50K again. Like, I know Pio, you were speaking about considering getting a punk. I think if you've got some USDC on the sidelines over the next kind of 6 months, I do think like they'll definitely hit 50K or below again. I kind of just wanted to jump on and touch on the other side stuff. I know we've spoken about it a lot, but I struggle to see a scenario from this news event or the thing that's coming on the 16th of July that really results in massive price action on land. And I think, I'm not sure, I kind of missed the start of the show, Pio, but I don't know if you were potentially talking about flipping your Coda. Did you mention something like that?
It's listed at $40,000 equivalent right now, 32.69 ETH, and there's 17 days until, and I listed this a while ago, so I forgot about it. I literally checked the account this morning and saw that it's still listed. So I'm kind of like, well, if they're going to really pump for 16 days, and I saw one sell that wasn't even a mutant Coda for 29 ETH. I'm assuming there was like an artifact or some crazy resource on it, and that was 5 hours ago. That's 36K. So we're flirting with the 40K mark. I just was considering maybe either raising the price or something, because in 16 days in the NFT space, a lot can happen even in a bear market, when this is basically going to be the only event that we're looking forward to, it seems like. So I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so I think the weapon Coda floor is quite high. So that might have been a Coda with a weapon that sold for 29. But my buddy's in a similar spot to you. Like he minted two other deeds and somehow hit two Codas. And that's like the majority of his NFT bag. So I think he's in a similar position, tossing up whether to sell them or not. I minted two Codas as well, but I kind of sold them 2 weeks ago and kind of put that into my punk. But I think it's interesting because it depends, right? Like if you're planning on selling your Coda but holding the ETH, it's a different move to if you want to convert that into USDC. It's a bit riskier because, like, who knows what's going to happen to ETH in the next 2 weeks, right? Like, we could get a dump back down to 1K. Because I think in USDC terms, USD value, the price of a Coda has nearly done a 2X from the bottom. Like, I think they're around 25K or to 30 for a floor Coda right now, and they bottomed it around like 13K. Like, so I think they went down to like 13 ETH when ETH was like three digits. I think like people's expectations are so high, and I think like people just expect to be able to like print cash with these Codas and lands, and I'm not sure how realistic that is in the short term at least. So like I just think in USD pricing, I've currently got two deeds, and I'm considering kind of flipping them into the news announcement and maybe picking up a mutant instead.
When would you flip them? Like, would you do it today or would you do it a week from now?
Depends how many I had, but I'd consider let's say I had three, I'd probably consider flipping one today, putting that into USDC. And so like my buddy who has two Codas, I think he's going to sell. We had kind of a long discussion today, and I think he wants to sell both, potentially convert that into USDC and then pick up a punk if they kind of drop back below 50K. But so I think like he's going to sell one today, convert it into USDC because ETH has had a bit of a relief rally, then hold one because you're right, there's still 16 days left to the news announcement. So there's still a lot of time for stuff to pump. But let's say CODAs go from 20 ETH to 25 in the next 16 days, but ETH is back down to three digits by then. Like it doesn't matter if you're planning to hold that ETH, but if you were someone that was wanting to potentially get some stable coins, that's not great. So there's kind of like multiple facets to it. And kind of quickly being devil's advocate for what Jesse was saying regarding like ApeCoin, I do like that as like, you know, a potential short-term play. But I think to say like the bottom's in at $4, like I think I could see it dropping below that like over the next 6 months. Like that's just my take. Could be completely wrong.
Altcoins get absolutely wrecked. So yeah, I think that's a solid take. Nick, was there something you wanted to add?
Well, I was going to say, yeah, I do think CryptoPunks are dropping again, but it's so difficult because there's been like a bunch of fire hair sales, but also based on some of the most recent VR one was for $122,000 or $123,000. So technically I'm up like $33,000 on this trade so far. And part of me is like, just like, oh, this is going to end up dropping again.
One thing you could do, Nick, is that like, I've seen a few punks go for way more than what they're quote unquote valued at, because obviously punks are very like niche play. And sometimes you get people who don't really give a shit about spending an extra 30, 40 grand to get the one they really want. Mm-hmm. So if there's a price that you're happy with, like I've got mine listed at 100 ETH and I don't expect it to sell, but I saw like a random blue bandana, like one sell for 100 ETH a few days ago. So if you're happy, like let's say you want to sell it at 120 ETH, to even like have it listed,
I want to just keep it forever, to be completely honest, or at least for a very long time. And what I'd rather do is figure out, Captain Kicks is still, we got to finalize the financing, but essentially I'm just trying to offset the cost of it, to be completely honest. But it right now it's looking like a genius move, but ultimately it's like it's like a grail. So I don't know. Like
I think you just have to be prepared to eat a potential like, you know, 50% loss in the short term, like because you're so bullish on it long term. And that's kind of the same thesis with me. Like if you're not phased about them potentially dipping like, you know, another 50% or more from here, then I think that's fine.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was muted. Wappy, you have your hand raised. Then we'll throw to Micah G. What's going on?
I think just on this point, the reason that if the market goes back into like turmoil, you might see something like Punks take a dip, where you might not see Bored Apes, Mutant Apes, or like Moonbirds take as much of a dip, is you have to look at like what's underlying the project and what's coming. And with Punks, it's more about just owning the punk and being part of the punk community. You're not expecting any events or airdrops or anything like that. So I think items that have an underlying roadmap where you're expecting something to come from it are going to hold up better in a downturn. I do like the idea of getting a punk, but I'm not going to touch them at this price point, especially if the sentiment is we're going lower, because there's just, I don't think, a lot for people to really grasp and hold on to if you're in a liquidity event and people are trying to hoard money. And I still think we're in that type of a macro market.
I feel like it's buying art though. So like, and art has been performing very well. Art blocks in particular has had quite a run in recent weeks, and we've seen some. There was a investment collective. I forget the name of it. I saw it on Twitter last night that was buying up a bunch of art blocks and other.
They bought a zombie punk too, to be honest.
Oh yeah, yeah. That was the one that bought a zombie punk. I don't remember the name of that group.
I think they're called Curated.
Yep, that's it. That's it. So, they bought a bunch of art pieces, and frankly I think like I remember someone from I think it was someone at Super Rare at a dinner like last year I was chatting with him, and he was saying that you know, during previous recessions, when the markets dropped like 30%, 40%, 50%, we've actually seen the art market drop by like 9% or something like that. So it actually Yeah, it's been interesting. It's been interesting to observe.
I think the difference with Ethereum-based art, though, is that you're leveraged to Ethereum. So that's the only other factor you have to consider.
I think, like, for example, I kind of bought my punk for the opposite reasons Wappy was speaking about, because I think a lot of the projects with roadmaps and stuff, they've got a lot of speculation priced in. And when markets turn bearish, typically those tend to get hit quite hard as people kind of run to safety. And so, like, I think with the art stuff, there's still some speculation there, but I just think, like, what we've seen, like what Nick was saying in the last couple of weeks, is people kind of flood to punks and, you know, squiggles and X-copy grifters and those sorts of things, because, like, yeah, they're considered art. And I think it's less risky than, for example, like a mutant or a moonbird or something, even though I love those too.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thesis.
That's a fair point. I'd never thought about it like that. I was just looking at it from, like, a mutant gets you into ApeFest, a moonbird gets you more drops in the future. So that's, ooh, like, it's propping up the price.
Like, is ApeFest, I mean, ApeFest is a concert, but, like, I'm not even, like, okay.
Okay, what about the, like, $400,000 they gave you earlier this year? That's also, like...
That's utility. That's the type of thing I'm looking for. But, that's the only thing that I want from my NFT project, is to give me hundreds of thousands of dollars. So that's, like, what I'm looking for primarily. And, you know, we're trying to work on that, you know? If you keep holding on to our project, maybe we end up just giving you hundreds of thousands of dollars. I can't promise that, but definitely been some brainstorms.
George, you have your hand raised. Haven't had a chance to speak yet today. What's going on?
Hey, guys. I was just going to comment, somewhat coming from the traditional art world, that I agree with what Renegade was saying. Like, I think, especially punks, I'm very bullish on punks in this market for the reason that generally in recessions we do see the art market, I mean, it suffers as well, but not as much as other investments. I would say, however, I am and continue to be skeptical about what exactly Yuga is going to do. I know they hired I forgot his name is Nate or whatever his
Noah.
Name is. Noah, exactly. And they put out that tweet, just like, oh, we won't be doing low effort lunch boxes and this and that and the other. But it's just like, I still don't like that word low effort. Like, just leave them alone. Like, they're going to put them, they're already in the other side, obviously. And it seems that they're going to appear and there'll be avatars and whatever. And that is, you know, that's not the end of the world. But I really think the more they're left alone, and I mean really left alone, like, do not even hire someone to look after them. Like, obviously they need marketing and stuff, but that will speak volumes in terms of price.
He said he viewed it as a dead artist collection was how he was treating it when he was at the punk's brunch.
It's a good way to put it.
I mean, the problem is, like, Picasso's name is on a Peugeot car.
It's on a what?
I mean, that's a different dead artist. But I think it was more so that, like, he's just focused on going after various galleries and museums in an effort to sort of raise awareness of the, I think sell the historical relevance of the project. But, I mean, I think you're also correct. The less that was done, and I ran into him, and I'd met him before, prior to him being associated with CryptoPunks. And we caught up, and I was just like, hey, is all the feedback that you're getting do nothing? And also, how do I get that job? Because that's dope. Like, I want a job where I get paid really well, and literally my what everyone is telling me is do literally nothing. That's a great place to be. But he did kind of acknowledge that. So I don't know. I'm not too bearish on the matter. And I think it was more of just like, it's do a little bit, but do it in a way that just elevates the project from an artistic standpoint. He did reference the metaverse aspect of things, but like, I'm less interested in that personally. Like, I don't want to see any utility out of this project other than it being art.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think even that connection is not ideal. I mean, even the connection with Yuga, to be honest, I don't think is good. You know, I think it's great for Yuga as a company. I think it's not good for anything that relates to kind of fine art.
I agree. I totally agree, because all of a sudden you have like this corporate entity owning the project, whatever that means, right? Like, it's kind of weird. It's kind of weird for a corporate entity to basically be the estate of a dead artist, like Nick said. But I really like that take about Punks, and I have to think that you know,
maybe they set up a separate entity that they fund or something like that. I would not be surprised to see them do something that actually reflects, I think, the community's position on this.
Is it weird for a corporate entity to be the custodian of a dead artist's like IP? I think that's actually like pretty common, right?
Isn't it usually in like a trust or something, which acts as like a pseudocorp?
Yeah.
Right, well, so, there you go. Good. So,
sometimes the artist's family retains ownership of it, but like other times that actually gets sold to others. And I think you think of that more obviously in music, where like
the label.
The label, but also like people buy entire catalogs of both living and dead artists, dead musicians, right? And so with estates, like there are investment firms that like to roll up the IP of artists across different genres for like their merchandise, et cetera, moving forward.
Just in general, I think there's interest in art during a bear market, it seems like, not just Damien Hirst, but you know, there's obviously up and coming artists that are the next Damien Hirst. I don't know if we need a channel in the Discord or a show every once in a while. I know Trish and Jessica and a bunch of our listeners are interested. Obviously, you know, they're like, these are the true artists, but even I'm talking literally just from a trading perspective, there's definitely has to be some value in finding kind of the up and coming artists.
Good points all around. Micah G, why don't you close us out? We got a couple minutes here. What's on your mind?
Well, yeah, I raised my hand. I mean, on your original question, or just should you sell the land? And I feel like it's a larger point about like where we are in the space in general and what people should be doing. And like, I'm kind of skeptical on your side because you don't seem to believe in the game.
What I don't believe in is the expectations of the NFT market. When DGen was talking about Kathy Wood, literally I was seeing comments from people that said, don't you know Kathy Wood is over? Like y'all are late. It's like the lack of respect that the NFT market has as a group doesn't inspire me that in the short term, Other Deed is going to be good. I've gone on record talking about the long term for Other Deed.
She did buy like, up at high levels for some of these different investments. But regardless, she has a group of advisors around her and they have at least, thought well, develop perspectives.
For me, it's just a respect thing. I just got a little more respect than that. It's like if LeBron has a bad season or something, I'm not like LeBron's trash. You know what I mean? And I don't see a ton of respect from NFT market participants in general. And I think that respect bleeds into price action in the short term. Go ahead, Micah.
Yeah, I guess my point is like at this point, it's about shuffling your chips into where you're willing to make the bet. So I think if you're short term, you're saying, I think Other Side puts out a good demo. I think, you know, we get past that hype or I'm going to sell into the hype. And like for you, I don't know that that's where you actually want your bet or your chips to be. So, I mean, I think it's painful because you've held it from a while, but like, I think this is the time to shuffle around your capital to where you want to make those bets. And like for you, if you're already heavily into coins and you're already heavily into other NFTs, you even have a mutant, you have access to that. Like to me, if you don't have liquid capital on the side to protect, like, if ETH dumps to 500, you could go straight into a punk, right? Like there's situations where it's like, check your downside and have some cash. And like, if you're already heavily invested in things going up and coins going up, like, I don't know, I would be diversifying out of that because you're just trying to sell into the pump, right? Like you're just, and there might be 80,000 other landowners that are also saw that date and said, and I can hold a couple more weeks and sell into the pump. So I don't know. I mean, I would have gotten out of that coda immediately, but like, you know, I think this is the time to shuffle around your chips into the bags you truly believe in and that you'll hold. And I don't know, I'm just like skeptical, at least in your position, that like that's the bag you want to hold and the bet you want to make. Because if that demo's bad or something comes out about CODAs just being like, you know, mounts, like a cosmetic mount, then you're probably fucked.
Yeah, and so Micah, you're a pro. You did incredibly well last year trading NFTs. Would you sell it like today or would you wait till closer to the date? The 16th.
I mean, I'm already relatively like, I'm already sitting some stuff on the sidelines. So like in my financial situation, which is why this is hard to say, like I would probably roll the dice.
Wait until closer to the day.
But,
Yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like there's other stuff you believe in more that you could reallocate that money into that would also go up if other side is pumping, right? Like the bull case of like, we're back, you know, ETH is up, everyone's feeling spendy again. Like, I think that you would have other stuff you would allocate into that you would believe in more. Because I think the second that it pumped a little bit more, you would probably sell it, right? Like, you have so little upside because potentially you don't trust the short-term pump, right? You would probably sell into it. So I feel like there's other stuff you get into that you would do better in.
The biggest thing is it's not just as simple as that because you end up paying taxes, all this stuff. So that's the calculation, which is not incorporated with some of it. And it's why in my own portfolio, I'm still holding on to a bunch of NFTs, which I'd love to sell right now. But I'm about to take a 50% or whatever the amount is, 35-40% tax on that sale. And then it suddenly is not as big of an offset as we said. But anyways.
What are taxes, Nick?
What?
What are taxes?
There we go.
Very nice. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is the NFT Morning Show. We are at time. We do this show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m., talking all things NFT market. Buy our NFT at the top. Join FTX with our code, thenifty.com/FTX, or with the code thenifty on your mobile app. Sounds like we're going to have Kathy Wood on this show in no time. That's going to be fun. See you guys tomorrow.